Welcome to the Drop Time Report. Turn up the volume and listen to amazing stories about big bucks and the hunters who harvested them. Here is your host, outdoor writer, Tracy Breen.
Welcome to the Drop Time Report. On this week's episode, we're going to have on outdoor writer Richard P. Smith. If you don't know who Richard is, he's a well-known writer who lives in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. He's over 70 years old. In my lifetime, I've read countless articles by him. He's been published in just about every national hunting publication there is. He's still writing for many publications here in Michigan. And one of the things he's well known for is hunting big woods bucks, you know, deer that live deep in the backcountry of the UP. But there's many of you who are kind of have a knack for public land hunting or are starting to hunt more and more public land, or maybe you have a huge chunk of private ground. And today he's going to talk about how to narrow those pieces of ground down and figure out where those bucks live. Not only are we going to talk about finding deer in big woods, but he was one of the guys who broke the Mitch Rampala story many years ago. He's interviewed and talked to Mitch Rampala, a Michigan hunter who apparently killed a world record buck and was so reclusive he refused to get it scored or have it entered in a record book. Richard believes it's actually a true story, a real wild deer that was killed. Myself, I did quite a bit of research on that deer when I was writing a lot for publications. I interviewed many friends close to Mitch Rampala, and to be honest with you, it could be a true story. But that's probably one of the most profound and cool things we're going to talk about today is the Mitch Rampala buck. And hopefully everybody will learn something today from Richard P. Smith. He is a wealth of knowledge. He's going to talk about a couple of big bucks he's killed. So let's go ahead and get Richard on the phone. Welcome to the Drop Time Report, Richard. How are you today?
I'm great, Tracy.
Well, good. How's the weather in the UP these days?
Well, it's wet and dreary today. We still have some snow in the woods in the northern part of the UP, but most of it is gone. Most deer are out of deer yards and starting to eat a little bit of green grass.
Yeah, you know, you never know when the last snow is going to come up there. I turkey hunted up there many years ago with a crew from Nightingale Game Calls. And, of course, it was late April like this, and it snowed almost every day.
Yeah, it's not unusual to get snow in April. In fact, they're calling for some cooler weather the first week of May up here. It's not unusual to get some snow even in May.
So, obviously, you know, living in those harsh conditions, deer just don't get as big. You know, there's a lot of reasons, genetic, lack of food, nutrition, those kind of things. But you have a knack and have been an outdoor writer most of your life. And so you have a knack for finding those mature big wood bucks. And how do you go about finding them? You know, that's probably a question you get asked a lot. I mean, in the UP, there's enormous pieces of property. So how do you narrow it down, and how did you do it before trail cameras, I guess, is a good question.
Yeah, well, I've got a lot of history of hunting big woods bucks before trail cameras were available. I've been hunting since the 1960s, and basically you just scout and look for buck sign. Look for scrapes and rubs and a concentration of those buck sign to narrow down areas frequented by decent bucks, adult bucks. That's in a nutshell what's involved. And sometimes it takes a lot of searching, a lot of scouting to locate quality buck sign. But once you find it, that's the spot to be. I killed my biggest buck on public land in the Upper Peninsula in Marquette County. And I was, I think, 2 miles from the nearest road, a 2 mile walk in. And there was a concentration of rubs and scrapes. Obviously, a number of adult bucks were in the area. And the second day of this, I hunted this scrapes, this buck sign, opening day of gun season, didn't see a single deer. And that's common in big woods hunting. But the second day, I passed up a 3-point in the morning, about 9 in the morning, I passed up a 3-point, and about 4:30, 4:15, this big 11 point came through and shot him through the lungs. And interestingly, he took off on a death run and bounced off several trees and broke one time before he went down.
Okay. Now, how many years ago was that?
1990, I believe it was.
Okay. So a bit of time ago.
Okay. Yeah, that was a five-and-a-half-year-old buck. And then the following year, I killed another, a four-and-a-half-year-old buck from the same breeding area, a nice eight-point, as he was chasing a doe.
So you say, okay, so this buck's killed 2 miles off the road. Do you put a pack on, a day pack on, when you're scouting and just say, I'm going to hike until I find sign? I mean, how did you end up 2 miles off the road in that particular area?
Well, I had it. I got a tip from someone about this breeding area. There happened to be a woman from Northern Michigan University who was doing some pine marten research in this. It was actually a wilderness area in the UP. She was doing some pine marten research, and I bumped into her in this area where I was doing some scouting, and she mentioned where she'd seen a lot of buck sign. So she tipped me off to this area. And I went in and checked it out, and it obviously looked terrific. And I simply stood against a tree, a big tree, with the wind in my favor, didn't have a blind, wasn't in a tree stand. With the two-mile walk, you know, you got to carry extra gear. So I just stood on the ground next to a tree. I killed 3 bucks out of that same spot.
Okay. So that's... You've been at this a long time. You've been published in pretty much every major deer hunting publication in America over the last, 50 years. So tell us maybe some tips and tactics. I mean, obviously you're looking for scrapes and rubs. When is your favorite time to scout? Is it postseason?
Normally not until late October if I'm hunting a new area that I'm unfamiliar with. In areas that I am familiar with where I know I've seen scrapes and rubs in the past, late October is when they start showing up with more frequency. You might see some earlier, mid-October, but those are rare. If you see a good scrape during early to mid-October, it's a very good sign that's an older adult buck that's already scraping that early. Most bucks don't start scraping until late October in this country, and that's when I usually start scouting.
So you're not one of these guys who, there's a lot of experts say they scout January, February, March after season is over. You literally wait till the heat of the moment, so to speak, when the rut is kicking off.
Yeah, and that's when you're going to see the best sign.
Sure. Okay. How large a piece of property are you hunting in over the years?
It's thousands of acres. And one tactic that I've used occasionally up here is snow tracking. It's not unusual to have snow on the ground during gun season in the UP, and we have large enough tracts of public land remaining in the Upper Peninsula where you can get on a big buck's track and follow it without having to worry about crossing onto private land where you can't go. And I've had shots at bucks using this technique, but I haven't actually killed one that way.
Okay. So give listeners a few tips. You've written a lot of books on the subject matter of hunting deer in the rut and hunting big woods, and you've interviewed, countless people who've killed big bucks. And I find myself as a writer, I've learned more about hunting deer from interviewing some guy who's successful, and then when you write 10 or 15 stories and they all end up having this consistent pattern, you start to learn, wow, that tactic really works. What are some of the things you've learned being a writer about how to hunt big woods bucks?
Well, take advantage of the opportunity that presents itself. I've interviewed, you make an excellent point, Tracy, about learning from hunters you've interviewed who are successful. I've interviewed some bow hunters and gun hunters who, either driving on a road or walking toward where they planned on hunting, they happened to see a deer bedded, and they took advantage of the opportunity to stalk the animal, which is a rare opportunity for a big buck, but actually managed to kill those deer because they took advantage of an opportunity that presented itself. Be persistent. Get out there with a bow, get out there during gun season, get out there with a muzzleloader. The more you hunt, the more you learn, the better your chances of success. Hunt the midday period. I've killed more big bucks during the middle hours of the day between 10 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon than early and late. I've killed them at all different times of the day. I hunt all day when I can, and that increases your chances of success as well.
Sure, sure. Tell us, maybe one of your favorite stories about maybe a buck killed in the UP by someone other than yourself.
Oh, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
I've written a series of 7 books called Great Michigan Deer Tales, books 1 through 7. I've learned a tremendous amount about how big bucks are being killed by interviewing the hunters for these books. And I guess the biggest, highest scoring typical on record for the Upper Peninsula was killed by Louis Roy in Baraga County in the 80s. He used an ATV to get back in. Let me back up. He was bird hunting, and he found an area where 2 bucks had fought in a saddle in a ridge between 2 swamps. So he built a deer blind overlooking that saddle where he found this sign of 2 bucks fighting. And he killed a 6-point on opening day, but he had 2 buck tags. He went in, I think it was the second day of the season. It was raining, and he was thinking about not hunting, but he decided to go anyway, and it's an excellent thing that he did. He killed this big 12-point on that morning, on that rainy morning, by going in on the second day, and it scored in the 180s as a typical. Tremendous buck. So even if it's raining, get out there.
Now, how, you know, of all the stories you've told over the years, how often do you think it's mere luck versus guys who put lots of time in? Because, you know, it's interesting myself interviewing guys who kill, 200-inch deer. A lot of them, let's face it, it's luck. And then, you know, the guy that you know that hunts harder than anyone has never killed a buck over 150, you know. What's your take?
It is a tremendous amount of big bucks killed with luck involved. A lot of the hunters I've interviewed who've killed Boone and Crockett caliber bucks had no idea those deer were there until they saw them and shot them. And during the rut, during gun season in the UP, you will have bucks that travel miles looking for does and heat and will end up in a new area in front of somebody's blind, and they'll be successful. Not because they did anything special, but just because they were out there.
What have trail cameras taught you about hunting big woods bucks?
Well, they've told me a lot about the fact that there's more big deer out there than anybody realized before that you just don't see when you're hunting. They're primarily nocturnal animals. You hear a lot of people say that we're killing too many bucks, there aren't any big bucks out there. Well, trail cameras have changed that, have proven that they're just good at avoiding hunters. Many of them are primarily nocturnal, except when there's a doe in heat. I've learned a lot about what's out there using trail cameras. It hasn't helped me kill too many deer, not any big ones, but it's nice to know what's out there in hope that you can someday see them.
Sure. Now, why do you think, we often think as hunters that bucks become nocturnal because of hunting pressure. In these big woods situations, thousands and thousands of acres, why do you think they're so nocturnal, some of these deer?
Well,
they never see people, right? I mean, they're rarely seeing people.
Exactly. And some of those older bucks are very sensitive to human presence, and they will avoid the areas where they smell people, even when they come in during the night and smell where a hunter has been. But I think it varies depending on the deer and the location. Older bucks just tend to be nocturnal. But one thing that a lot of hunters miss out on is they hunt during the morning, go in for lunch, come back out in the evening, a lot of these bigger bucks are active during the middle of the day when hunters aren't there. And that's something I've learned in big woods country. Even in Canada, where there is zero hunting pressure compared to Michigan, you won't see anything all morning, and all of a sudden it's noon, and you see three or four bucks between noon and 1 o'clock. They're very active during the middle of the day, many times when hunters aren't in the woods.
Okay. Now, in these big wood situations, you know, like these bucks you found that were 2 miles off the road, over all your years, what are some consistencies that you see as far as they typically live in this kind of cover in the UP? I mean, is it thick cedar swamps? We always hear about the cedar swamps. Is there a few key ingredients that you tend to look for when trying to find big woods bucks in the area they call home?
Well, so I've had some of my best luck on older bucks hunting oaks. And there's oak country where I killed this 150 class, my biggest typical on public land. Feral apple orchards, oak groves, beech nuts, wherever there's a quality food source that's going to attract deer. When you have a good acorn crop or a good beech nut crop or a good apple crop in big woods country, deer will come from miles around to take advantage of that quality food source. I almost killed a Boone and Crockett class buck in the UP when hunting a feral apple orchard. Every day before climbing in my tree stand, I throw a few apples in shooting lanes around my stand. And there were apples on the ground in the area, too. When I climbed in my stand that day, a red squirrel took most of the apples I'd thrown on the ground near my stand and carried him off. This 10 or 12-point Boone and Crockett class buck showed up. There was one or two apples that had rolled out of, I threw them from my stand. They had rolled out of my shooting lanes. He ate those one or two apples that were left, but never walked into one of my shooting lanes, never gave me a shot. He was within 20 yards of me, but always had branches covering his vitals, and I never got a shot. And that was in a feral apple orchard. So okay. Where there's quality food sources, good places to get mature bucks. My most recent older buck, I killed a 4.5-year-old 8-point that scored, qualified for state records. I killed him in oaks as well, in oak country.
It's important to note, you know, where you're hunting, farms, crops, food plots, they don't influence deer movement as much as everywhere else because they're simply not available to the deer, correct?
Right. You got to key on the natural food sources.
Go old school.
Exactly.
And that's hard. That's hard for a lot of guys to kind of comprehend. You know, before we started the interview, you were talking about how, you know, guys need to maybe look past the antlers a little bit. And you recently interviewed a guy who shot he was 7.5 or 8.5-year-old deer, and he was 120-some inches. Up there, an old buck might not have a big set of antlers, right?
That's correct. Genetics varies in the amount of nutrition the bucks have. This hunter I interviewed was in Iron County in the southern UP. He killed an 8.5-year-old buck. I think he had 8 points, 9 points, something like that. But it only scored in the low 120s. It didn't even qualify for state records. 125 is the minimum entry for state records for gun kills. But that was still a trophy deer because of its age. Even some older bucks in big woods country may not have the biggest antlers, but if you kill a 4.5 or older buck, it's still a trophy, in my mind.
Is there less hunting pressure now in the UP than ever before, or are you not seeing much of a change?
There is the lowest hunting pressure in the Upper Peninsula right now than there has for a long, long time. We've had low deer numbers for a number of years due to severe winters, and we have terrible buck harvest regulations, too, that have worsened the situation. And there's so many more deer in the Lower Peninsula that hunters are staying in the Lower Peninsula rather than coming to the UP like they used to. We have far less hunting pressure than ever. There's a lot of public hunting land in the UP that gets very little or no hunting pressure during deer season. that so, allows more bucks to get older.
Yeah, are you seeing as a result then older deer being killed?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, give me an example, maybe a couple of stories you've done. What I'd like to do is, you know, a lot of listeners are kind of looking for that secret honey hole, right? And I think the UP, if you're from Wisconsin, you're from Indiana, you're from some neighboring state, and you really want to get off the beaten path, the UP is a place they could go and camp and never see a human being while they're hunting, right?
Exactly. Or see very few. And there's some, like I said, public hunting land that gets very little or no hunting pressure. Just get a county map book and check out public land and start scouting. Walk the country, look for signs of other hunting pressure, look for buck sign, and go from there. You got to put your time in on foot to see what conditions look like on the ground.
Do you use aerial photos at all, or what is your tactic these days?
I normally don't, Tracy. I like to see firsthand what's out there. Maps can give you an idea of what areas to look at. Look for funnels or bottlenecks on maps that you think might be good. And the best places to find scrapes is along the border of two habitat types, where you have hardwoods butting up to a swamp, or wherever there's a change in habitat types, that's often where you'll find scrapes. You can locate those on maps to give you an area idea where to scout.
What's the most controversial story you've ever written on a big woods buck? Did you ever cover the Rampala buck or any of those type of deer?
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah, I wrote quite a bit about the Rampala buck. In fact, Mitch Rampala from Traverse City had the state record typical bow kill buck for many years. He killed that in 1985. And I knew Mitch prior to him killing the deer that set the state record, and communicated with him routinely over the years. And then when he killed his controversial buck in 1998, which should not have been a controversial buck based on the information I have, he was just an excellent hunter. He hunted that deer for 3 years, missed it a few days before he actually killed it, and a game warden actually saw the deer, the whole deer, inspected it, and everything looked legit to him. If you can't take the word of a game warden, who can you take?
We won't go down that road, but let's you know, we weren't planning on going and talking about the Rampala buck, but every year I see that thing pop up where people are talking about it, you know, and I'm from Michigan. I remember covering that buck. I remember talking to a very close friend of Mitch Rampala who, like you, said, man, this guy is a crazed lunatic when it comes to hunting whitetails. It's all he cares about. Is that your take, that he's just so reclusive? I mean, he's like a old mountain man or whatever you want to say, and doesn't care about much else.
That's correct. He's a fanatic when it comes to whitetails, but he's not a people person. That puts it very simply. I wrote a number of chapters in my books of Great Michigan Deer Tales, Book 3 and Book 4. And Book 1 has a chapter about his previous state record, typical, before he killed the controversial buck in 1998. So there's a number of chapters in those books about Mitch's success. And Book 3 has two chapters dealing with that buck from 98. And the first chapter in Book 4 also deals with that buck. A video that Mitch took of the recovery of that deer, and I'm one of the few people that have seen that whole video that Mitch took. There's a lot of facts that people ignore who don't believe that that was a real buck.
So let's talk about them then. Let's break this thing down. People will love to hear this tale. What are the things they love to ignore?
The fact that a game warden actually inspected the deer and saw the whole carcass, and many people saw the deer after Mitch killed it. but he was hounded so much by the public and the media, And there were some negative things written based not on his hunting success or his hunting ability, about other things that distracted from that deer.
Yeah, his personal life, we can say, wasn't super clean, so to speak. And I think that that hindered the whole big buck story.
Yes, it did.
You know what?
One of the biggest things that people ignore and look at differently, somebody offered to contribute thousands of dollars to Mitch's chosen charity if he would have the antlers x-rayed from that deer. And the fact that he didn't enter it in Boone and Crockett. Mitch didn't enter any of his bucks in Boone and Crockett, including the state record typical that he killed in 1985. He didn't enter that deer in Boone and Crockett records, and he didn't plan on entering the one he killed in 98 in Boone and Crockett records. He did plan on entering in state records, and it was measured for state records, but because of the controversy, Mitch didn't want to bring commemorative bucks of Michigan into the controversy, so he did not enter it in state records, but it was officially scored by a panel of three measures.
Why do you think that buck ended up being as big as it was in an area of the state and country where, you know, big bucks just weren't a normal thing you would see? Is it just he hit the genetic lotto, in your opinion?
Yes, yeah, definitely. But he was 7.5 years old, too. And if you look at the antlers between the buck he killed in 1998 and the one he killed in 1985, there is some similarities in the antlers. If the buck he killed in 1985, which was 4.5, had lived another 3 years, it very likely could have had a very similar set of antlers. They might not have scored quite as much, but they would have been much larger than when he killed it in 85.
Was that buck supposedly killed on public ground?
Yes, it was. The tree stand that Mitch killed the deer from was on private land bordering public land. And I think the deer came from public land before Mitch shot it. And another important thing, the highest scoring non-typical on record for Michigan was found dead during February 5 or 6 years ago in Lenawee County. And that deer, like the one Mitch killed and other big bucks that hunters fail to kill, are examples of how good older bucks are at avoiding hunters. Very often they end up as roadkill, killed by wolves, or suffer other accidents that result in their death before hunters are able to kill them.
Isn't it true, I heard from a close friend of Mitch, that he actually shot a subdominant buck that was bullying this buck? He shot it, maybe it was the same year or year before or something like that.
It was a year or two before, yes. He was concerned about this other buck injuring the huge one that he eventually killed. So he shot that deer. I think it was an 8 or a 9 point. It was a year or two before he actually killed the big one.
So what do you think? I mean, so this kind of goes back to your big woods hunting tactics. What do you think Mitch Rompolo does right? You know, let's take away all the controversy. We know he's obsessed. Everyone I've talked to, anyone I've interviewed about Mitch Rompolo, I'll say the same thing. All he cares about is deer. He has sacrificed every relationship he's ever had for deer. You know, deer are his life. So it's safe to say he scouts, from what I've been told, almost every single day of the year. You know, what other things do you think he does right?
Well, he does a lot of scouting after the season as well. He tracks bucks in the snow to see where they've been. He backtracks them. He doesn't follow them to where they're going. He follows them to where they've been to see where they've been and to find out about where they travel, to find locations where he can possibly ambush them. And he learns a lot about them that way.
Okay. Yeah, snow. Sorry, folks, if you're listening from down south, because, you know, snow is a tool that can definitely be used.
Exactly.
Has he killed any big bucks since that you're aware of?
I've heard that he has, but I don't have any confirmation in it. I sent a letter to Bitch. A magazine wanted an updated interview with Mitch, and I wrote to him to try and set up an interview, and it fell through. He wasn't willing to do it. He was really hurt by the negative publicity about people who didn't believe that this was a legitimately killed wild deer. He shared experiences about hunting this buck with many of his friends. And there's a reporter with Traverse City TV station that he shared information with. And I talked to all these people after he killed that deer, and they all confirmed, you know, what he said was accurate. You don't spend 3 years hunting a deer and tell people about those events and it end up being a fake situation.
There's a guy that you probably know his name. I'll leave it out because he's had some legal issues. But before he had legal issues, he owned a company here in Michigan. He was good friends with Mitch, and I sat down across the table from him, and he opened up a photo album of all the big bucks that Mitch had killed. I mean, just one page after another. And he wanted Mitch to endorse his scent product because, you know, obviously it was going to help his company. And Mitch refused, but I'll never forget sitting down and looking at this photo album of all these legit monster bucks. And his obsession with whitetails and killing big bucks goes way back to his youth. If I remember right, when I did a story on him, he was killing monster bucks in Missouri when he was a kid.
That's correct. I forget his age. I wrote an article for Outdoor Life magazine about Mitch prior to him killing that big typical in 1998, where he killed a 130 class typical, I think, was the first deer he killed with a bow as a boy. And then he killed a huge non-typical with a bow later on. I forget what it scored. It might have been 200-inch deer, but he killed those deer in Missouri. And there was a lot of rumors that he killed his big typical from 98 on a game farm in Missouri. He grew up on a low fence farm, a regular farm in Missouri. There was no game farm involved. There were so many false rumors circulating about that deer, it's ridiculous.
In the end, he gave up the fight, so to speak, because of Milo Hansen. Is that correct?
No, he didn't give up the fight. He wasn't challenging Milo Hansen's record. He never referred to his deer as a world record deer. Everybody else did because he didn't plan on entering it in Boone and Crockett, and he would have had to do that to challenge Milo Hansen's deer. He had no plans on doing that. That's why a company representing Hansen had Mitch sign a document saying he would not enter his deer in Boone and Crockett. And he didn't have a problem signing it because he never planned on it to begin with.
Okay.
Very simple.
It's one of the saddest stories, you know, and I think it's true, and many listeners out there might, you know, debunk the story and think it's false, but I think the saddest thing to me about it, and I see it from doing these podcasts, how often I will post a picture of a big buck and people will just start making stuff up, you know, they're just,
exactly.
They can't imagine a 200-inch deer coming out of some of these places or whatever, so it's really easy just to say, that must be a fence deer.
Or he shot it at night or something like that. It's common today, Tracy, as you found out, for rumors to start about any big buck that somebody kills legitimately. I've heard rumors about many big bucks that I've interviewed people and I've got the story that are just total myths about how these deer were taken. And these people don't even know the person. They just start dreaming up stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, wouldn't you agree that most big bucks are killed in a legitimate way? And it's really only a small percentage that are poached in some way.
Exactly. I agree. There was one instance I'm aware of where a big Boone and Crockett buck was killed illegally. A hunter downstate killed a big non-typical, and he didn't even have a deer license when he killed it. He went out and bought a license after he killed the deer and put a tag on it. Well, it didn't take long for law enforcement to find out about that. But most big deer are legitimately killed. There are exceptions, like I mentioned.
Yeah. Tell me your craziest big buck story that maybe of an interview you've done or you know, that kind of goes along the lines of these big wood bucks.
The biggest typical on record for Houghton County was killed by a hunter. I don't believe he had ever killed a buck before. And it scored in the high 170s or 180, a tremendous 10 point. He was hunting near his home. And I forget the exact details, but he was just had an hour to hunt, I guess it was. And he went out in the evening, was willing to shoot any legal buck, and this huge 10 point came in and he shot it.
What's crazy about Houghton County, if any, you know, a lot of people listening outside the state of Michigan, I mean, they're, you know, a 100-inch buck in that county is a trophy, you know, in a lot of cases. So it's just further proof and consistent with what we're talking about. A monster can come out anywhere.
Exactly. And you just never, one example of the craziest big buck for Michigan, it's not a big woods buck, it's a southern Michigan buck. But Troy Stevens from Jackson has the current state record typical buck in Michigan. He did not own a gun. He didn't own hunting clothes. He had to borrow a gun. He had to borrow shells. He had to borrow hunting clothes. And he was invited by a friend to hunt a piece of property that he had permission to hunt. And the guy who invited him to hunt had a blind to hunt from. But they got to the spot before daylight and to find a place for Troy to sit. And they found a trail, deer trail, coming out of cornfield going into a patch of woods. And Troy sat up on a stool along this deer trail and a piece of property he'd never set foot on before that day, using a borrowed gun, borrowed shells, borrowed hunting clothes. And he killed the highest scoring typical on record in Michigan. How crazy is that?
That is crazy.
That can happen anywhere.
Yeah. But once you say, okay, you've done thousands and thousands of articles at this point in your life. You're over 70 years old. And so you've told a lot of stories over the years. The guys who are consistently the most successful, I mean, is there a part of them that's just obsessed with whitetails, don't you think?
Yes. They spend the time scouting year-round, basically, to find areas where there's big deer. And hunt those animals until they're successful. They hunt with a bow, they hunt with a gun, they hunt with a muzzleloader. They hunt the entire open season if it takes that. And sometimes they're not successful, but by doing it year after year, they accumulate a number of big bucks that way.
Do you think in the UP, and this is, you know, hopefully will kind of spark a fire in some people to go hunt the UP, do you think in the UP, because the pressure is so low these days, are there bucks dying of old age that rarely see a person who ever get hunted?
No doubt in my mind. Most definitely. And some of those older deer are killed by wolves. We have a very high wolf population right now. And once those older bucks, we have a rough winter or they're run down after the rut, they're very susceptible to predation by wolves. There's doubt in my mind.
How about mountain lions? You think you got many of them up there?
Well, we have a few. They've documented, I don't know, 100 or more, close to 100 trail camera photos of mountain lions in the UP. So we have them, and they're certainly preying on deer when they're here. But there's not enough of them, I don't think, to take that many big bucks.
Sure, sure. Interesting. You had mentioned, and maybe we'll close on this, If someone wants to kill a big buck, in your opinion, the place to go is Saskatchewan. Why is it? Why do you love that place so much?
Well, I've killed my three biggest bucks in Saskatchewan. I've been fortunate enough to hunt Saskatchewan many years. Once I learned the potential of big buck potential in Saskatchewan, I'd often book hunts for 2 weeks rather than 1 week and be very selective. I routinely pass up 140 class bucks in Saskatchewan. My biggest typical gross 167 and netted 163. And I killed two non-typicals in Saskatchewan that grossed in the 170s and netted in the 160s. 2011 was the last time I hunted Saskatchewan. I passed up on the first morning of my hunt that year. I passed up a 170 class buck because I was so busy videotaping the deer and enjoying that he left before I was able to grab my rifle. I actually underestimated what he was score. I thought he might be 160s or maybe low 150s. Fortunately, when I showed the video of that buck in camp that night, the outfitter gave me hell for not shooting him, of course. Fortunately, I saw that deer the next day and I shot him. He grossed 171 and 3/8 as a 14-point, 13-point, something like that.
So when you're hunting either the UP or Saskatchewan, are you an all-day sitter?
Yes. Whenever possible, I sit all day because I've killed some big bucks early in the day. That 160 class Saskatchewan typical, I killed them soon after daylight. That biggest public land buck in the UP I shot late in the day, 4:15-ish, 4:30. But I've killed a lot of them. One of the big non-typicals I killed in Saskatchewan was at 2 in the afternoon. So they can show up at any time, especially when the rut's on. So I try and hunt all day when I can.
Let's close on your book, The Deer Tales. That's the one you've published the most, you know, renditions of. People seem to love that book. I see people talking about it on social media quite a bit.
Well, there's actually 7 books in the series, Tracy.
And it's just books, big buck stories? I mean, is it like picking up an issue of North American Whitetail on steroids?
Yeah,
I mean, is that kind of
exactly
what you got there?
The biggest bucks killed by hunters in Michigan.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you are a guy sometimes surrounded with controversy because you tell it like it is. Let's face it. So you're not the DNR's favorite friend, probably.
Nor am I the friend of mandatory antler point restriction folks.
Sure. So what do you think keeps Michigan from being a big buck state?
In my opinion, it is a big buck state, Tracy.
Okay.
There are hundreds of bucks that any hunter would love to kill that are killed in Michigan every year. We just have so many hunters, there's far more smaller bucks killed than bigger ones, but the big ones are there. If you want to kill a 3.5-year-old buck or older, Big Woods in the UP has got them. Most of the bucks I've killed have been at least 3.5 years old.
So do you think, are you okay with 2 bucks or do you think we should go to 1?
I'm fine with 2 bucks. It provides a tremendous amount of extra recreational opportunity for hunters without impacting the resource. A very small percentage of hunters actually kill 2 bucks in a year in Michigan. In the UP, it's only like 1 or 2% of the hunters fill 2 tags. That doesn't impact the resource. If you go to a 1 buck bag limit, you're going to return to the days that I grew up in where people are buying licenses for their wives and their mothers and their girlfriends to kill 2 bucks anyway.
Yeah.
For those who want to bend the law.
I think
you're not protecting deer when you...
Yeah. I think when I interviewed Russ Mason back in the day, he said it's like 5%. Fill a second tag.
Right.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have much impact on the resource. The biggest problem I have is in the Upper Peninsula, the only region in the state, if you buy a combination deer license, both tags are restricted. One is restricted to a buck with 3 points and 1 antler, and the second tag is restricted to a buck with 4 points and 1 antler. That is terrible harvest regulations for the UP. We lose a lot of deer when we have a severe winter. That restrictive buck tags, the combo license, protects too many deer that when we have a severe winter, we lose a lot of those bucks that hunters are forced to pass up during severe winters. One tag should be unrestricted on UP combo licenses just like the rest of the state. So it's uniform like it used to be.
Sure. So in your opinion, for a hunter who wants to go to the UP, is this the heyday of big buck hunting?
It's just as good as it years ago, almost. Our winter habitat isn't as good as it used to be because of trying to carry too many deer through the winter. The excess deer during the winter has degraded the winter habitat, so we can't carry as many deer during the winter as we used to. Fortunately, we can supplementally feed during the winter in the UP, which helps carry a lot of deer that would not survive otherwise. And that brings bucks through the winter in good shape, so they'll grow their best antlers.
Sure. Cool. Well, I appreciate you being on the show today. What year did you first publish an article?
When I was in high school.
Okay.
I was writing for the local newspaper outdoor page when I was in high school, which is in the 60s.
And you're how old now?
71.
So you've been at the game a long, long time.
That's awesome. Yes, sir.
And still going. Yes, and still, how many articles do you publish a year now?
I don't know, 20-ish or more, 20 plus.
Okay. Very cool. Well, I appreciate your time, and hopefully you can kill another big one soon.
Oh, I hope so. Well, thanks for the opportunity, Tracy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, take care.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It was great having Richard on the show today. To learn more about him, visit his website, richardpsmith.com. He has a lot of deer hunting books as well as bear hunting books. He is a well-known bear hunter and is well-versed in the best ways of hunting black bears. So to learn more about him, richardpsmith.com. Before we leave, I'd like to thank my sponsors, Redneck Blinds, Fourth Arrow Camera Arms, Winsett, Morel Targets, Huntworth Gear, Pine Ridge Archery, Lucky Buck Mineral, Grim Reaper Broadheads, Schaefer Performance Archery, Illinois Connection, Outdoorsman's, and Wilderness Athlete. If you want to shed a few pounds or you just want to drink healthier drinks, check out wildernessathlete.com, enter Drop 10 at the checkout, and get a discount. And I want to thank everyone today for listening. To learn more about me, visit my website, tracybreen.com. Also, I'd appreciate it if you give me a positive review on iTunes or Google Play or wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Thanks, God bless, and have a great day.